of Lord Krishna. Pura, previously. Udita, mention. Astal, eight. Mahishya, chief queens. Tat, there. Putran, sons. Pradumna Adin, headed by Pradumna. Gnami, I shall recite. Te, for you. Translation. Among Lord Krishna's wives, each of whom had 10 sons, I previously mentioned 8 principal queens. I shall now recite for you the names of those 8 queens' sons, headed by Pradyumna. And text 8 and 9, can we chant it together?
Charudeshna Sudeshnascha Charudehascha Varyavan Sucharuscharuguptascha Bhadra Charustatapara Charu Chandro Vicharuscha Charuscha Dashamohare Pradyumna Pramukha Jata Rukmini Yamnavamahapitu.
The first son of Queen Rukmini was Pradyumna, and also born of her were Charudeshna, Sudeshna, and the powerful Charudeha, along with Sucharu, Charugupta, Bhadracharu, Charuchandra, Vicharu, and Charu, the tenth. None of these sons of Lord Hari was less than his father. In the last 3 verses, 10 through 12,
Banu Subanu Svarbanu Prabanur Banu Mangstata Chandra Banur Brihad Banur Ati Banu Stutastama Stri Banu Pratibanuscha Satya Bhaman Majadasa Samba Stumitra Purujic Chatrajit Sasuchatrajit Vijayas Chitraketuscha Vasumandravida Kratu Jambavatya Sutayete Sambhadya Pitrisamata.
The 10 sons of Satyabhama were Banu Subanu Svarbanu Prabhanu Banaman Chandrabanu Brihadbanu, Atibanu, the eighth, Sribanu, and Pratibanu. Samba, Sumitra, Purujit, Satyajit, Satajit, Sahasrajit, Vijay, Chichiketu, Vasumandra, Vida, and Kratu were the sons of Jambavati. These 10, headed by Samba, were their father's favorites. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami translates the compound Pitra Samata Taha in this verse as highly regarded by their father. The word also indicates that these sons, like the others already mentioned, were regarded as being just like their glorious father, Lord Krishna. Om Aginati Mirandasya Ganan Ganashalakaya Chakshudan Nivitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namahamana Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Guru Rana Gacharane Nivashesha Shunivari Prashtachade Sukhane Mukhan Kuriti Vacharam Pangam Yangayate Gurim Yat Kipa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dhamata. I was thinking as I was reading these verses that I'm really glad I didn't have 10 sons and a daughter, because when you get older, you know, you mix up the names of your kids. Did you ever notice that? And these names are so similar to each other that it would be really problematic. Calling everybody else's name, it would be a problem. So like I said, the chapter in the Krishna book, that is this chapter, is called the Genealogical Table of Lord Krishna. And here it's called Balaram Slays Rukmini, which doesn't really happen until the very end of the chapter. So for the next few verses, and for the verses read today, you get this list of names of Krishna's very qualified sons, especially those of his principal wives. Well, I was very intrigued by the idea of genealogical table. If you look at the etymology of the word genealogy, you get, the root of gender or generation, which is gene, which is, you know, that which is passed down as science evaluates it. It's that's what's passed down from one family line, bloodline, to the other, to the other, to the other, and you trace your pedigree, so to speak. Huh? And in the Bhagavatam, there are many, 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 many genealogical tables given. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there are many genealogical tables also of Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and so many other wonderful devotees. The whole ninth canto, practically, is one genealogy after another. And you get this from the ninth canto, especially, because it's leading up to the birth of Krishna. The last chapter in the ninth canto heralds the birth of Krishna, which, of course, takes up the whole tenth canto. And you get the purport of that list that everything is going on cyclically, that, you know, there's constantly people being born, and some of them do really good things, and then even the ones that do really good things, they die. But still, everybody wants to have some son. We hear again and again in different stories of the Bhagavatam how important it is, or how people think it's so important to have a son. Chichiketu was like berserk about having a son. And everybody wants to have a son to carry on their pedigree, to display whatever good qualities they think they have, or to carry on their legacy, their tradition. And now in America, maybe in the rest of the world also, I'm not sure, but definitely in America, it's a big popular thing, tracing your genealogy, looking at your genes and seeing who your family is, what you're making a family tree. There's about 15 websites where you can go and try to find out who's who in your family. And maybe someone was one of the founding fathers that came from under Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, so you could get here and stake your claim in this fair land of America. So this idea of perpetuating our bodily line is very prominent. If you look at Indian marriages, if you look at the there's classifieds where people post on many, many different sites in India looking for husbands and wives. Huh? And they give their gotra and where they're from. And you can't be born across the street or in a different state or whatever. Everything has to be like lined up. And plus you have to be tall, dark, and handsome or good looking. And I was reading some of them this morning. I wanted to read one here, but they were all too ridiculous. So I couldn't get into it. But at least at the end of almost everyone, it says, I want someone who made my life happy for the rest of my life. Which that person doesn't exist, so forget about it. But this idea, this it's almost inherent in us, the desire to pass on whatever it is that we have to the next generation and generation and generation and generation. And then there's obligations of the generation. We're supposed to offer pinda to the forefathers so that they get liberated from the hell, and they go to the heavenly planets and so on and so forth. I was listening to a class, I think it was by Lokanath Maharaj, and he was describing that in some houses that he does programs, there's pictures of all the ancestors, and on the bottom of the picture, it said in Hindi, I don't know what it is you can say, has gone to Svarga, has gone to Svarga, has gone to Svarga. So as they pass away, hopefully, in their opinion, they've gone to Svarga. But then you look at us, and when you see us, you wonder why it is that people in this country want to look at their genealogy, because it's not very glorious. I mean, okay, if your mother or father came over on a great-great-great-great-great-great, somebody came over on the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, I guess that matters to somebody. But in the cosmic manifestation of things, it's all just nothing. I just read the book of Jai Dvaita Maharaj, the Vanity, the book on Ecclesiastes and the Bhagavad Gita. And this is very much the idea that's propounded in this book. And of course, it's right up Jayadvaita Maharaja's line, because he knows that everything in the material world is vanity, and it's vanity and vanity and vanity. So this writer of this part of the Bible, he's very, one could say, disturbed, or at least he's very convinced that everything in the material world is useless, that everything happens cyclically. There's nothing under the sun that hasn't happened before. What if you can, he even asks, can you find anything that you can do that's never been done before? No, everything has been done sometime in the past, and it will be done sometime in the future. So what? It's going to come, and it's going to go, and it's going to come, and it's going to go, and it's going to come, and it's going to go, and it's going to go. And this is what happens. But yet we hanker to find out the past, and we hanker also to make the future something we can be proud of. But when we look at our past, we don't see much to be proud of. At least, I don't see much to be proud of. And even whatever pride there might be in attaining some kind of wealth or some kind of fame or some kind of education, it's all based on material life. And material life is ephemeral. It's vanity, in the sense of this vanity, as it's used in this book. It means it's vain. It's a waste of time. And he compares it to mist or fog. That fog is there. It looks like it's something, but it just disappears into nothing. And you can put your hand through it. It's so ephemeral that it's not even hardly real. So this material world, we know it's not real. And yet we put so much stake in this idea of my father's 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 father. And my mother's 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 mother. My religious tradition, the woman carries Judaism. If you want to be Jewish, you have to be born in a Jewish mother. And so the mother carries that. So if you don't have a Jewish mother, you have a problem. And then you have to go through all kinds of things to rectify that situation. It's quite complicated. So there are two, Prabhupada points out that there are two different kinds of gotras. Of course, here we have the line coming from Krishna himself. And even in the lines of Advaitacharya and the lines of Srila Prabhupada, you find people who made it and people who didn't. So what does that tell you? It tells you that it is in everything, your gotra. Even if it's a good gotra, even if you have Prabhupada as your father, even if you have Advaitacharya as your father, you still may lose it. And you may not make it back to Godhead. Because there are two gotras. One born comes from the genes, the birth, and the other comes from diksha, from spiritual connection. And so Srila Prabhupada points out that in diksha, we connect to another line, and that's the achyuta gotra, or the eternal, that which never dies, gotra. And that comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna points out that he's the father of everybody, right? He's the father of all living entities. So he's our father too. And the only thing we have to do is remember that and become connected to it and stay connected to it. If we stay connected to it, then we have all the qualifications to go back to Godhead, not to Svarga, but to the Supreme Lord in the Goloka Vrindavan. But the fact that we have this connection now, because we're connected with Srila Prabhupada, who's connected with the disciplic succession, that's our gotra, is coming from Lord Brahma, who's coming from Krishna himself. And that whole disciplic succession is now our gotra. So Prabhupada told us, when someone asks you, what's your gotra? Because, you know, what are you going to say? The hickeys or whatever. it doesn't really work very well. So what are you going to say? You're going to say achyuta gotra, that's my family line, that I come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead because I'm connected to him by disciplic succession. And if you don't do that, then you're connected to a list of names. Prabhupada, in his Vrindavan Bhajan, I wanted to read a little bit, just the one stanza. He said, everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless, wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Samsara, who do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders, who were my own folk? And who will give me news of them? Tell me, who? And what is left of this family life is just a list of names. So it's a list of names, and we have so many lists of names. Names, 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 papers, papers. When my mother passed away, I was cleaning out her house, and she had file folders and file folders and file folders of names and bills and dates and things that had been done that could never should never be forgotten, just in case someone asked you when you had the tires changed in your car that you got rid of 4 years ago. Well, you know, you might have to have this paper. So the papers were all there, everything, garbage cans full of names and papers and records and records and records. And we dutifully keep these things because we're trying to hold on to some kind of material conception that we are going to go on in this form, in this legacy that we inherit, that we have. We don't want to give it up. We want to be eternal. And in fact, we are eternal, but we're looking for eternality in the wrong place. In the Bhagavatam, it's described that with the rising and the setting of the sun, every day we die another day in this body. And if we look at it spiritually, we're not dying another day in the sense that we can go closer to Krishna. So we're actually coming closer to eternal life. We're giving up material life day by day by day and coming closer to Krishna day by day by day. But that's our choice. I was in Vrindavan recently, and one devotee gave a class, and he made a very nice point that I thought was kind of connected to yesterday's class. And there was some, the idea that the living entity has a responsibility in his spiritual life. And we, who was it? Maybe it wasn't yesterday. Who was talking about Achintabheda-Vedatattva? When was that discussion? Shesha Prabhu. So Shesha Prabhu's class, talking about Achintabheda-Vedatattva. And we have this situation where in theology, there's always this discussion, you know, the cat and the monkey, and do we have to hang on to go back to Godhead, or does the cat hold us in the mouth and take us back to Godhead? I was listening to a class. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, the kitten in the mouth of the mother, he's feeling very safe, but the animal, another animal in the mouth of the cat, of the cat, is not feeling very safe. But if we understand that it's Achintabheda-Vedatattva, it's simultaneously one and different. They're two different things, apparently, that one is we have to do it and the other is Krishna has to do it. But the fact is we both work together. There's a symbiosis there. And the analogy that was given is a rope in the well. That if someone is in the well and someone else throws down a rope, the rope is there, but we have to hold the rope. So the rope is there of Prabhupada's mercy, and we've taken it in some form. Here we are. We're sitting in this room. I was thinking the other day when it was Gaur Purnim, and we were here at Mangal Arati, and you could hardly get a spot on the floor, that wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody could come, even once a week, right? If everyone could be, if we could have a Mangal Arati like that once a week, or even a Guru Puja like that once a week, it would be so ecstatic. So we have this, that's just an aside. So we have this rope, and it's been thrown to us, and all we have to do is hold on to it, and then we become a member of the Achyuta Gotra. But if we let go of it at any point in time, then immediately Punyamushika Babu. Again, you become a mouse. And you again connect to the other gotra, the family line, which is simply a list of names. Prabhupada was talking in the story of Jamil. He was explaining that in this day and age, just getting married is a big thing. And that was, he was talking pre-1977. Now it's like, what's marriage? Did someone say marriage? Actually, yesterday I was in the post office, and Len had the invitation to your daughter's wedding on the counter in the post office. But that's a rare thing. But even in marriage, huh? What is the purpose of our marriage? Is our marriage to propagate a list of names,
or to bring everybody closer to Krishna, to connect everybody to the Achyuta Gotra. It says in the Bhagavatam that one should not become a mother, one should not become a father, one should not become a relative. Everyone's a relative. How can you not be a relative? So everyone has an obligation to connect their family members or their dependents to that Achyuta Gotra. And because we've come in contact with it already, our obligation is simply to hold on to that rope, to keep following the four regulative principles, to keep chanting our rounds, and to keep sharing it with others. Because Lord Chaitanya's rules of his house, like Prabhupada describes one lady who had a place in Bhubaneswar, and she had many houses living on her property. And she had a rule that everyone had to go to the temple for Mangal Arati. And if they didn't go to Mangal Arati, they had to buy one Krishna book. Oh, no, they had to pay some fine. So Prabhupada said that our rule is that if you don't go, then you have to buy one Krishna book. And if we did that, we'd sell a lot of Krishna books, wouldn't we? Divyanga Prabhu can go out in the next Gorpunim or the next Janmashtami and sell Krishna books to all the people who didn't come all the other days, right? So it's a lot of Krishna books. So our request in Lord Chaitanya's family is not that we have to buy a Krishna book, although that's certainly nice, we should all have a Krishna book, but we have to give Krishna consciousness to others somehow or other. That's part of our obligation to our family line. So I was meditating on how we're actually brothers and sisters of all these people that are listed in this genealogy, because we're in Krishna's line, and these are in Krishna's line. And if we develop the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, or aspire to develop the qualities of a devotee even, if we work towards serving Srila Prabhupada and pleasing him, then we qualify for that pedigree of having that Achyuta Gotra and being connected to Krishna's family. And that would make these exalted souls, whose names are here and go on for the next several verses, that would make us relatives of them. And that's certainly a very auspicious place to be. So we have that obligation. We should take it very seriously because we have that choice. We have to be in a gotra. There's some connection. So we could be connected to Krishna's family, or we could be connected to that list of names that goes on endlessly and comes and goes in vanity, nothing new under the sun. So I'll stop there. And if there's any questions, perhaps I can make an effort to answer. I just want to make sure I didn't forget anything. Someone has a question? No. I wanted to make one point that I didn't make, is that there's no disqualification for entering into the Achyuta Gotra. That Prahlad Maharaj even was preaching to his classmates that you're demons, you're the sons of demons, but if you take on this chanting of Hare Krishna, then the Lord, he says, oh, my friends, oh, sons of demons, everyone, including you, the yakshas and the rakshasas, the unintelligent women, the sudras, the cowherd men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, the devotees are referred to as Achyuta Gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapayat Me Chuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world because he is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was the conditional state and was the wife of a demon, even yakshas and rakshasas, women, sudras, and even birds and other living entities can be elevated to the Achyuta Gotra, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. So there's no bar. Everyone is welcome into Krishna's family, and all we have to do is hold on to the rope, and we can be part of it. Hare Krishna. Someone has a mic?
You spoke about how for materialists they have an attachment to kind of like achieving something in their lives.
Okay.
You kind of mentioned that. Like
achieving
how,
eternality in their life,
yeah,
by propagating their line.
Yeah. But what about the desire to, like you were saying, like when someone leaves their body, they want to think about, well, what have they achieved? What has their family done and all the names and stuff? What about the desire to want to have offered something to the Sankirtan movement? Would you say that that is that kind of like...
Depends on the reason.
Okay.
Right? Many people went out and distributed books for years, and they're nowhere to be found right now. And certainly that service is eternal. However, the reason behind why that service was done might have been faulty, in the sense that I wanted to get a free trip to India, or I wanted to get my name announced in the morning, you know, or whatever. I wanted to be number one. Huh?
The Sunday
Maha. Yeah, the Sunday Maha plate, whatever the reward was. And the more we come to the idea that whatever service I do, if I do it to please Krishna, then it will have that effect of connecting me to the Achyuta Gotra, and it will have an effect in the annals of eternal time, because I'll bring somebody, people, closer to Krishna. But to have the desire for the wrong reason, for personal aggrandizement or whatever, then that makes it less potent, less powerful. Of course, the act is powerful because we're distributing books or we're helping people be raised in Krishna consciousness, but our ability not to be affected by Maya will be hindered if our desire is not pure.
But I'm wondering, like, because you meet some materialists that are like, well, I want to leave this world knowing that I did something to contribute to it becoming a better place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, like, if that's our motive, but if it's a Krishna conscious, like, I wanna leave this world knowing that I did something to help spread the Lord Chaitanya's mission,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So that's a nice desire.
But I'm wondering, is it tinged with...
That you have to decide. I can't tell you if your desire is tinged.
Okay.
You have to look and see if your desire is tinged. And even if it's tinged, by moving forward with that desire, whatever tingedness there is will be purified by the process if you go on with the process. But there will be challenges to that, because it's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that when we advance in spiritual life, one of the things we get as a result of that advancement is profit, adoration, and distinction. And that becomes a hindrance on the path to spiritual life. So the very reward that we get is an obstacle in the future. So we have to see that as we move forward, there will be obstacles created by our own progress in devotional service in some sense, because Maya is always trying to figure out how to test us to see if we're really qualified to go back to God. And ultimately the test comes in complete purity and attachment to Krishna, asakti. We have to have asakti. So I was just hearing yesterday actually that prema has to be awarded by Krishna. There's nothing you can do to get prem except that it's awarded by Krishna, and Krishna doesn't even consider it unless we have attachment to Krishna, unless we have some attachment. So we have to cultivate that, and there will be obstacles, so we have to be prepared for those and get them out of the way as we move forward in our devotional service. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes. Uh-oh. Problem.
No.
Of names, actually, that's what Prabhupada expresses is true. But in King Beno's case, that when Prabhupada translated, like, it's better to have a bad leader than no leader at all.
Mm-hmm.
And with that idea,
that's what they thought.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, when they killed the Brahmana, killed the Beno, Later on, Prabhupada gave that idea that why did they churn the King Benos, even though he's a bad, demoniac nature, you can say, because he has some descendant, pure devotee. So it was stressed in a sense that even though so many generations passed, but by churning his thigh, Nishad came from his right hand, Prithu Maharaj came, left side, Mother Archi came.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe descendant, if there is a pure devotee, like in your descendant, you are advanced devotee, so obviously, even later on, if they're not devotee in your generation, there will be something.
Well, there's benefit to having a devotee in your family, there's no question. And in Prahlad Maharaj's case, and his descendants, you know, Krishna promised him that for 21 generations, I believe, that his family, Krishna would look out for them. So there's benefit. I'm not saying there's no benefit. But because just coming in contact with someone who chants Hare Krishna is beneficial. And certainly if someone is raised in a family or gets the opportunity to associate with persons who are devotees, there's benefit there. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough. We have to take up, and you know, Prithu Maharaj is exception. Bhagavatam is full of lists of names. I mean, there's so many lists of names in the Bhagavatam, and they come and they go, and they come and they go, and we learn things from each of their family. In the ninth canto, as I was saying, each family has a highlight, and it jumps out at you, and it teaches you something, and then it disappears, and then it goes on to the next, and it again jumps out, and then, you know, even Lord Ram, and it jumps out and then it goes back and it keeps going on and on and on. And the idea, the idea is this cycle that it's going on and on and on. And ultimately some of us or some of those people go back to Godhead and some of them don't. So we have to be, you know, those are the choices we have to make. The idea is that it's not, and even Prithu, when he was born, you know, and he took over because he was born as an adult, and so he was born and he took over the kingdom and everyone was singing his praises and he said, hey, wait a minute, don't sing my praises until I've done something, right? So we see, he said, you're talking, you're saying all these things, but you haven't seen me do anything yet. It's just hot air, you know, shush. So wait till you see me do something. So there, even in that story, there's the indication that, okay, the Gotra is nice, but even the system that I was born in was very nice. I was churned. It was special. But I still have an obligation. I have to do something. And so we all have the obligation that we have to do something.
In Mauritius, Srila Prabhupada went for a morning walk. This is what I went to see one devotee, Chavan Muni. And he was telling me this story. He was a sannyasi that time with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada didn't go to temple. He gave a class under a tree.
Mm.
And then in the class, he said, so Guru comes to take a disciple or the conditioned soul and initiate and tell them, okay, I have come here to take you back home, back to Godhead. What is the duty of the disciples?
Mm.
So they try to say, oh, follow Four Noble Principles, all this. And then Prabhupada stressed that last point he made. He said, disciple also has to have an idea to go back home, back to Godhead, just like Guru has come. Then possible, otherwise not.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So nice. Thank you. There was somebody over here, Sarkalpa. The husband and wife team, Janmastami and Sarkalpa, both have their hands up. She was first. The woman, you know, goes Lakshmi Narayan and Radha and Krishna.
You mentioned that to join the Achyuta Gotra, we just have to hold on to the rope that the Lord or Lord Chaitanya has, sent out to us.
Sure, probably.
And I wonder if you can define that a little more, because it's kind of a vast idea, because some may say, I'm not going to Mangalatik in the temple, but I'm doing it at home. And I have my reasons, and I'm in my heart, I'm with the Lord all the time. And then, there are those that are always at the temple. They say, no, you have to be in the association of devotees and you have to, you know, participate in everything, even if it's difficult, sometimes, you know, because of something, politics or so. And so it's maybe a combination of both, something deep in the heart, of course, that we have to have a desire to want to go back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, also a process, right? I mean, yeah, if you can define that.
Well, Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give us support so that we could go back to Godhead, to help, you know, I sometimes call it, you know, Hare Krishna Anonymous, that for those who are struggling with an addiction to the material world, they can join Hare Krishna Anonymous, and they can get support from each other to make advancement in spiritual life. The tendency is that if we separate from too far from the association of devotees, it winds up being problematic. And we become weak, and we become more influenced by our own mind. And we give ourselves a lot of credit for thinking what's right and what's wrong, ignoring the fact that, you know, many people think we're right, many people think we're wrong, whatever. And there may be other ways of looking at things. So Prabhupada wanted us to associate with devotees. He wanted us to read together. He wanted us to share realizations. He wanted us to be open to getting strength from others, to give association, to take association. Rupa Goswami stresses good association and avoiding bad association. It's over and over again discussed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also speaks a lot about the value of association, the importance of association. And as far as going, you know, the particulars of going to Mangal Arati or, you know, doing it at home or doing it here, it really depends a lot on what the reality of your life is and what you can do and what you can't do. It's nice. It's nice when we all come together. When we come together at, like, Gaur Purnima or Janmashtami, it's so enlivening to have everybody there chanting and having nice kirtan. But, you know, we can't do that all the time, and sometimes it's not even desirable. Sometimes we want a little bit of solitude, especially in chanting japa. We find, you know, talking and distraction, and we want. So we have to examine our motive, and our motive has to be pure. But the thing is, even if we don't examine our motive, Krishna knows what our motive is. He's in our heart. So we have to work on really ascertaining why we do the things we do, and then do what we need to do in order to make spiritual advancement. If it's acceptable, if it helps us advance in Krishna consciousness, accept it. And if it's a detriment to our Krishna consciousness, reject it. That's the criterion, right? If it brings us closer to Krishna, take it. And if it brings us further away from Krishna, leave it. And whatever it is that we have to fill in that blank with, we have to do that. But we have to examine it with an unmotivated or unmaterially motivated heart. And that's the trick. That's the hard part. And it's not the what we do, it's the why we do it. And we have to look and see why we do the things we do. So, you know, holding on to the rope means that the instruction, Srila Prabhupada says several times that if you don't follow at least four regulative principles in the chanting of your 16 rounds, he says, I can't help you. Then I can't help you. So there are certain things that are just not up for discussion. You know, Mangal Arati may be up for discussion, but chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles really isn't up for discussion. So we have to do those things, and not only do we have to do them, we have to do them well. And when we do them well, we get clarity. And when we get clarity, then we know what to do. So, you know, it becomes more possible for us to move forward and in our own lives to see what our priorities are and how to enhance our spiritual progress so that we're not influenced by the modes of material nature, especially the lower modes of material nature. Is that helpful? Hare Krishna Janmasthami. Last one.
Comment and a question. Leela Nanda sent me an email a few weeks back. I'm trying to, it's not 100% clear, but this is a pastime with Prabhupada and Tamal Krishnamurti. And Prabhupada had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I dreamed about that there were a group of chanters and they were surrounded by drunkards.
Oh, he told that in class.
Yeah, oh, mm-hmm. So you know. Maybe you can tell it then.
No, I can't.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what I remember of it, and I asked him to send the email, but it's not 100% clear. And then Prabhupada, but Tamal Krishnamurti has always had this kind of way of getting Prabhupada to talk. And he says, so Prabhupada, did the drunkards become chanters? He said, yes, but a few of them did. And then he said, did the chanters become drunkards? And Prabhupada said, chanters never become drunkards because when they start chanting, then they become part of Krishna's family.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thought it was relevant with the genealogical lines you were speaking about. Then the other question, you know, we're enjoined by Shastra to deliver our dependents in the cycle of repeated birth and death. It seems that there requires a fairly high level of maturity. I mean, that's obvious, but one thing is that driven by that obligation, it sometimes seems like it can be counterproductive. Like so much we hear, you know, how devotees, they join the movement. I mean, they're born into the movement and they don't have any choice kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it seems that there's a lot of subtleties that are required to execute this in such a way to optimize the results. I mean, maybe that's a comment, but it's a kind of like a question.
I had an experience in Vrindavan. I was teaching in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, maybe I was teaching disciples. I can't remember. Anyway, I was teaching something. And there was one boy in my class, and I didn't recognize him. I didn't know who he was. I actually did know who he was, but I didn't know I knew who he was. So he was sitting there, and I said, has anybody been a devotee? I don't think anyone in this room has been a devotee for more than 20 years. And because we were all pretty young people. And so he raised his hand, and he said, I've been a devotee all my life. I was born in the movement. I didn't have a choice, which was what made me think that. And I said, no, that's not a fact. And actually, you don't join the Hare Krishna movement until you make a choice. Joining the Hare Krishna movement is just like Advaitacharya's sons. Advaitacharya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had several sons, but not all his sons were in the right path. Prabhupada had sons. They didn't become devotees. So the rope is there. We have an obligation to drop the rope. We have an obligation to give good guidance and to provide spiritual strength. Sometimes we make mistakes. We do our best. But the other people have a choice too, and they have to make it. They have to make. And actually, I heard a discussion with Srila Prabhupada where Prabhupada was being asked, in the spiritual world, is it possible that we could fall down again? And Prabhupada said, yes, we always have the choice. Always have the choice. That choice never goes away. We don't make that choice to go back to the material world, but the choice is ours, Maya or Krishna, and everyone has to make that. So no one is born people are born in the Hare Krishna movement, and they're born to devotee families, but whether they become devotees is ultimately their choice. And even the best of parents can't make that choice for their children. And sometimes when we try too hard to make that choice, it actually becomes an obstacle. We have to get out of the way and understand that they're going to go through what they're going to go through, and they have to make their choice, whatever that choice is.
Just one short comment. It seems, you know, just like in the preface to Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada said, advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the follower. And it seems that the attitude or mood of the parent has a lot to do with, you know, facilitating a choice, of course, that the parent would like to see the child make.
Yeah, but sometimes that desire of the parent, I'll speak for myself now because it's safer. I know for myself that sometimes the desire to have success in making somebody Krishna conscious, my own children or whoever, it was tinged with a desire to be recognized for that, or to feel the pride of having your child or your grandchildren or whoever be devotees. And that has to get out of the way. Everybody is on their own journey. You have an involvement with that journey for as long as they choose to keep you in that journey. And ultimately, they have to make their own choices. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, I mean, my mother had a trajectory all planned out for me. I made different choices than she wanted. And as far as she was concerned, that was a problem, you know. It wasn't until much, 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 much later in the 40 years that we reciprocated, that I became a devotee, that she realized that she should accept what I accepted, what I did, and that was just the way it was going to be. So, you know, in some ways it's painful, and we may not feel good about it, but we have to understand that whatever Krishna consciousness, whatever prasadam, whatever association, it all. I think another consequence of being affiliated with the wrong gotra, the list of names, is that we want the list of names to go on forever. But in the ultimate issue in our relationship with Krishna, this whole time in the material world is like this. And in those seconds that we're in the material world, we make decisions and we go on and we take birth again and we go on and we take birth again and we go on and we take, and then eventually, hopefully, by the association, by the preaching of devotees, by the availability of prasadam, we will make the choice to go back to Godhead. But the fact that it doesn't happen tomorrow or while I'm their father or while I'm the one who's responsible for it, that's something we have no control over. We have no control over that. We can send them on their way and give them as much facility as possible. Oh, okay, one more. What's your name, Prabhu?
My name is Jivarajit. I'm a disciple.
Okay, and, welcome.
I'm a disabled veteran also, and I'm living at the Disabled Veterans Home here in Gainesville. And on one side, there is an alcoholic who keeps in the evenings. On the other side, there's a speed freak who's playing all the music all the time. And on the other side, there's a guy, a wrestler.
Sounds like a prison.
Private rooms. We all have our private rooms. And I've been struggling with my Christian consciousness the last couple of years, but I found that it's become much stronger and clearer living in that association. I mean, it's a heck of a nice bhakti program. Yeah, we show how to say Hare Krishna, cook a little vegetarian food, they bring some prasadam from the temple, and together some really nice prospects at the disabled veterans home.
Maybe you can arrange a program, we can go there and chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay, everybody comes by their own, you know, Krishna arranges whatever we need in order to get us back to Godhead. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances.